We stepped off onto the dock, washed with sunset light. I glanced into the sky, looked across the dock to where water glittered and foamed under the antigrav. Shikai had done a good job. The retrofit was seamless. Venezia was now truly a floating city. Unfortunately, that much antigrav meant that the whole city whined with a sound inaudible to most normals. Most scions can't stand the sound of hovers for long. It settles in the back teeth and rattles the bones. My shields swirled, taking in the quality of the power here. People and stone and reactive. A taste like sour, oily water on the back of the throat, overlaid with coffee fumes and synth ash smoke. What would have taken me hours before I met Jaframel, acclimatizing to a new city's power well, was done in seconds. My almost demon metabolism shifting through the necessary adjustments.
I bet there aren't a lot of sighs here.
Jaframel finished scanning the dock, his eyes glittering and that look on him again, the look of listening to something I couldn't hear. His jaw was set, golden skin drawn tight over his bones.
I wonder what it feels like to him to be going back into hell. Is he homesick?
The sun finished its slow slippage under the horizon. The wind off the sea was warm, but with a promise of later chill. Lights flickered in the city atop the lagoon. The antigrav made the ground feel as if it was thrumming underfoot, like the deck of an old ship or a bulky slipboard. I wish I could say I saw more of Venezia. The city is a treasure trove of pre-hegemony art and artifacts. Its architecture alone is worth a lifetime's careful study. As it was, I looked down at my feet, barely marking the turns we made and fixing them into a mental map, letting Jaframel navigate me over bridges and through darkening streets not big enough for even single passenger hovers. The people here used narrow, high-prowed transports on the canals, some of them open-air transports, which gave me a shudder, and slick boards to get around. Jaff halted in front of a soaring pile of stone. I tilted my head back, and back, and back.
Whoa.
The cathedral rose in spires toward the sky, just beginning to take on the look of a city at night. Reactive and electrical light and free plas, all conspiring to wash the vault of heaven with orange. I saw a round window, real glass repaired with bits of plasglass, in the shape of a rose that would glow red inside when the sun hit it.
The entrance to hell is in a temple?
No. This is simply where I was told to meet our guide. Though most temples are very good places to find a door into hell.
He led me up the steps and I ran the fingers of my right hand over the waist-high iron railing. The hand that had killed Santino. It had twisted into a claw after I had driven the shards of my other sword into the scavenger demon's black heart. I touched my sword hilt, lifting the slim, scabbarded blade in my left hand.
Did Jado give me a blade that can kill the devil?
I hadn't thought to ask him at the time. Too busy thinking about Rigor Hall and too sick with mourning Jaframel.
Besides, how could I have known the Prince of Hell would start messing with my life again? I thought he'd had enough of me the first time around. I've certainly had enough of him.
I looked at Jaframel's back as he paused at the double doors, one golden hand lifting to touch them.
Jaframel.
He turned his head slightly, keeping both me and the door in his peripheral vision.
I never would, you know. Doubt you.
His lips thinned, but the mark on my shoulder was suddenly alive with velvet flame, caressing all the way down my body. I braced myself as he pushed the doors open, glanced inside, and his shoulders went rigid for half a breath. Then he turned back to give me one eloquent, heart-freezing look, warning me something was wrong, and stepped inside. He paused just inside the door, his attention moving in a slow arc over the church's interior. I waited. He finally moved forward. A heavy fragrance boiled out of the opened door. My heart rose to lodge in my throat again like a lump of freeplas.
Smoky musk. Fresh baked bread.
The indefinable smell of demon. Not just any demon either.
I know that smell.
I had hoped never, ever smell it again. I stepped into the church, power brushing along my skin, teasing, caressing. My mouth had gone dry. My heart fell down from my throat into my stomach, somersaulted, then started to pound in my chest, my wrists, my neck. I even felt my pulse in my ankles. My heart worked so hard. The doors slid along the floor behind me, closing of their own will. Or his. Ranks of pews marched all the way down the cathedral's interior, but on the altar was a massive hegemony sun wheel. Other gods had their own niches in the walls going to either side. Candles flickered in the dimness. I smelled the faint tang of kiffy. My nose filled with the heatless scent of generations of worship, guilt, and fear, and the later tangs of power. Shamans and necromances and sedain and ceremonials coming to make offerings, dyeing the air with energy all mixed together to make a heady, charged atmosphere. Most old temples and later cathedrals were built on nodes, junctures of ley lines. During the American era, churches had stopped being built on nodes and started to spring up like mushrooms. After the Vatican Bank scandal and in the beginning of the Awakening, the old churches started turning back into temples. The process only accelerated after the 70 Days War and the fall of the Evangelicals of Gilead. The Parapsychic Act and the codifying of psionic abilities meant that only temples and cathedrals on nodes survived. Others were inelegantly torn down to make way for urban renewal. This place had been reverberating with power and worship for a very long time. And there at the altar rail was a tall, black-clad figure with a shock of golden hair glowing with its own flaming light. A figure slim and beautiful even from the back, and obviously not human.
We don't need a guide into hell after all. Anubis at their call.
For one frantic moment, I wanted to scramble back for the doors, wrench them open and run. Anywhere was fine as long as I could get away. The feel of Lucifer's steely fingers sinking into my throat rose like an old enemy taunting me.
This is the last chance you have to bolt, Danny.
Jaframel half turned, caught my arm, pulled me forward. He ended up walking just behind me and to my left, to protect both my blind side and my back. The mark on my shoulder flared with heat again. I choked back what I wanted to say and instead moved up the center aisle.
Just like doing a slickboard run through Suicide Alley in North New York, Jersey. The only thing you can do is hold your breath and go full throttle. And hope it doesn't hurt too bad on the way through.
I stopped at the front pew. Lucifer stood at the rail, his golden hands loose at his sides. My heart thudded.
God damn it! I thought we were going into hell to meet him. And I would have preferred the trip into hell just so I could have a few more moments before I had to face down the devil.
I killed the rising laugh, set my jaw so tightly I could feel my teeth squealing together. A worm of suspicion bloomed. I didn't want to think that my gentle fallen, the lover who had nursed me through the double blow of Mirovich's psychic rape and Jace's death, with more patience than anyone had ever shown me, could still be on the devil's side.
That's not possible, Danny. It's just fear talking. Just stupid, silly fear.
I said nothing. Jaframel went still as a stone behind me, radiating a fierce, hurtful awareness. I had rarely felt this kind of pressure and tension from him. It was the same feeling. Him listening to a sound I could not hear, seeing something I could not see, only magnified to the nth degree. Finally, probably after he thought I'd stewed enough, Lucifer turned slowly, as if he had all the time in the world.
He probably does.
He was too beautiful. The kind of androgynous beauty Holovid models sometimes have. The mark on his forehead flashed green, an emerald like a necromancer's, only obviously not implanted, the skin smoothly turning into a gem. Lucifer's radioactive, silken green eyes met mine, and if I hadn't had practice at meeting Jaframel's green gaze, and later his dark eyes, so much older than a human's, I might have let out a gasp. Instead, I stared at the emerald.
He might think you're looking him in the eye if you focus on the gem.
The emerald grafted in my own cheek burned. I tried to remind myself it wasn't like his. My emerald was a mark of my bond with my personal psychopomp. The god whose protection I carried. The mark of a necromance.
It's not working. You still feel nauseated.
Silence stretched between us. Jaframel was tight as a coiled spring next to me, and I felt a little worm of traitorous relief inside my chest.
As long as he's on your side, Danny, you might conceivably get out of this alive.
Lucifer said nothing.
I'll be damned if I hand the devil the first word.
I tightened my left hand around the reinforced scabbard. Power blurred, filling the air. A physical weight against heart and throat and eye. The demon part of me wanted to drop to my knees. The human part of me screamed silently, resisting with every single fiber of stubbornness I could manage to dredge up from my stubborn, painful life. I suppose I should have been grateful I'd had practice in enduring the unendurable. It was close. Very close. I had no time to worry how Jaframel was staying upright. I was too busy keeping my own knees locked, mentally digging my teeth in, resisting. My rings spat golden sparks, defiant.
First point to you, Dante Valentine. I have left hell. I have come alone, and now you force me to greet you. You must be certain of yourself.
Irritation rasped under my breastbone. Life-saving irritation. It broke the spell of his eyes.
God damn it, I don't play your little games. I didn't even know you wanted me until today.
I met his eyes then, something inside my chest cracking as their deep glow burned against my face.
Just get to the point, Prince. Use small words and can the goddamn sarcasm. What do you want?
Lucifer regarded me for a hair-raising moment.
Oh shit, Danny, you and your big mouth. I think you just jumped a shark.
My right hand closed around my sword hilt. Jaframel's hand came down on mine, jamming the sword back into the sheath, stinging me. His hand vanished as Lucifer looked back down, and all of a sudden I was glad, deeply glad, that I hadn't drawn steel. The thought of trying to cut him, this being so much older and more powerful than anything short of a god.
No, no, no.
I think I have missed your unique charm, Dante. I want your service, necromance, and I am prepared to pay any price necessary.
Go fuck yourself. I don't work for the devil. I learned my lesson last time.
What do you want me to do?
You are most honored among humans, necromance. I need another right hand.
I blinked. I couldn't help myself. I glanced down at the end of his right arm and counted his fingers.
Five, just like a human. Well, four fingers and one thumb if I wanted to get really technical.
You seem to still have yours. The smile fell from Lucifer's face so fast I was surprised it didn't shatter on the stone floor.
Gods!
Do not taunt me, Valentine.
The emerald in his forehead sparkled, a gleam that reminded me of Jaframel's eyes back when I had first met him. The meaning caught up with me.
Jaframel was Lucifer's right hand.
His eldest son, trusted lieutenant, and assassin.
What the hell? I can't live in hell!
I almost didn't recognize Jaframel's voice. Dust pattered down from the roof. I heard stone groaning. One of the pews rocked back slightly, wood squealing. The mark on my shoulder blazed with fierce, hurtful pleasure, as if his hand was digging into my flesh, keeping me still. I froze, keeping Lucifer in my sights. The devil looked past me to his former assassin, and the snarl that crossed his features was enough to almost send me to my knees.
You find this funny, Anankamel?
Leave him alone. You're bargaining with me.
So, we're bargaining now?
His sculpted lips curled up in a half smile. He was so goddamn beautiful it hurt to look at him. Actually hurt the eyes, like looking into a core melt, stinging and blinking against the glow humans were never meant to see. I tore my eyes away from him. I looked over at Jaframel.
Funny, he doesn't look amused.
Jaff's eyebrows were drawn together, examining Lucifer as if a new kind of bug had scuttled out from underneath something, and Jaff wanted to give it his entire attention. Then Jaframel's eyes slowly, so slowly, flowed over to meet mine. The mark on my shoulder eased, sending a wave of heat down my body. Relief. And fresh faith burst inside my chest. Jaff was with me. What could Lucifer do with his assassin on my side?
Oh, be careful, Danny. He could still do plenty. You know he can.
Jaframel's gaze held mine. I quirked my eyebrows slightly, a silent question. He gave an evocative shrug, little more than a fraction of a millimeter's lifting of one shoulder.
He can't tell me, or he doesn't care.
Then he tipped his head back slightly, raising his chin.
I am with you, Dante.
Has he always been able to do that?
Given the depth of the bond between us, it wasn't unlikely. The mark on my shoulder pulsed insistently. A taut line stretched between us. At the moment, this was a good thing. A way to confer with him without Lucifer hearing.
At least I hope Lucifer can't hear him.
I swallowed and looked back at Lucifer, who watched this exchange with a great deal of interest. What do you need an assassin for, Prince? The hegemony sun disk ran with a sudden random reflection of light.
He doesn't own me. Anubis owns me. The devil can't do anything but kill me.
The thought wasn't as comforting as it could have been. Death never is, even if you're a necromance.
Four demons have escaped hell. The others I can deal with, but these are of the greater flight, and I wish their capture or execution to be both swift and public. It will go a long way toward easing the unrest in my domain. Who better to hunt my subjects than my former right hand? And the woman who killed Vardimal and returned my daughter to me.
That does it.
For him to claim my murdered lover's daughter, to act like he hadn't half-strangled me and left me to deal with the fallout after playing his little game and getting control of the egg and hell back in one neat stroke. Fury smashed through the fear, a familiar anger at injustice held back and choked for most of my life.
Your daughter?
The sun disk rocked back on its stand.
Your daughter?
Mm-hmm. Mine. The human matrix means nothing, Dante. Only the androgyne matters.
She isn't yours. She's Doreen's, and you stole her.
You arrogant son of a bitch. No way. Go fuck yourself, Lucifer, if it'll reach. I spun on my heel and would have walked away with my back exposed if Jaframel had not caught my arm.
Tire suvrika sungam overep muverep eda suvrika.
He was talking to Lucifer. I stared up at Jaframel's face, his hand burning on my arm. He didn't squeeze, but his grasp was firm enough that I knew he meant business. He wouldn't have broken my arm, but he would have kept me there. And an undignified struggle in front of the devil wasn't something I wanted.
What the hell did he just say? I don't even know what Hedera means.
All I knew of demon language was Jaframel's name, and the hissing sibilance of their word for no. And, oddly enough, the word for sunlight.
Tajetir ikorbe muktida metnensemba sitrip zenimuleb eklud redmon simonan.
I looked from Jaframel to Lucifer, craning my neck.
Et habis seba te seba duk ederk.
The Prince of Hell's lip curled. He nodded once, curtly. His eyes were bright and avid, resting on me. I felt the weight of that gaze like a load of coldly poisonous sedation. flooding my veins. Jaframel looked down at me, his eyes flaring green again for a moment.
Very well. A moment to speak to my Hedera prince.
Granted.
Lucifer eyed both of us, then turned away to look back up at the sun disk. He wore a very slight, very nasty smile that dried up all the spit in my mouth. Jaframel dragged me down the aisle a few steps, his coat separating in front, then spread his wings slightly and drew me in. He rested his chin atop my head.
Dante, we have no choice.
Bullshit. We have a choice. There's always a choice.
I closed my eyes, rested my forehead against his bare chest. My sword hilt dug into my ribs. I held the blade with creaking knuckles.
Either we bargain with the prince, or we make an enemy of him as well as of the demons that have escaped his control. At least if we bargain with him, we have a chance of continuing our life together.
I don't want to bargain. I want Lucifer to leave us alone.
I got the distinct impression that if I made any bargain with the Prince of Hell, I'd come off as badly as I had last time. Crippled, barely alive, and possibly with another long, despairing time of trying to resurrect Jaframel on my hands. Or the whole thing could end up with both of us dead.
Then let me negotiate. I have, after all, bargained before.
I felt Jaff's sudden attention as his arms tightened, pressing me against his body. His fingers traced up my back through my clothes, a wave of familiar fire curling through me. He was taller, his shoulders broad, and with his wings around me, I was completely enclosed.
Fine. You go ahead, then.
We weren't in hell. The rule about him not talking probably didn't apply. Besides, he was more likely to come out ahead when it came to fencing verbally with the devil. He nodded, his chin moving against my hair.
Courage, Hedera.
I have plenty of courage. I just don't have any assurance Lucifer isn't going to turn on us both.
Jaframel led me back to the altar rail and waited until Lucifer faced us, green eyes sliding over us both. I saw a flash of something odd on the head demon's face, just a flicker. His eyes darkening and his mouth turning down.
What the hell was that? Did Lucifer actually look guilty just now? Or envious?
Actually, I was betting on enraged. Or murderous.
Danny, your imagination just works too well.
5 years of service. The full control of Hellasfront. Your word on your name that you will protect Dante with every means at your disposal forever.
The devil's eyes closed slowly, opened again. Some essential tension leaked out of the air.
Now it's a bargaining game. Cat and mouse, bartering for my life. Well, last time I wasn't able to bargain. It was pretty goddamn simple. Do what I tell you or be killed. This is a step up. Nah, not really.
20 years. With a meeting to discuss renewal, full control of Hellasvront, and my friendship to Dante Valentine, as long as her life lasts.
7 years, full control, and swearing on your name to protect her until eternity ends, Prince. That is non-negotiable.
What else?
The devil didn't look amused now. As a matter of fact, he looked sour. It didn't mar his beauty, but it fascinated me. Jaframel paused for only a moment.
Milo tirdorp ihim chichrolad.
What the hell?
I looked up at Jaframel, then over at the devil.
What the hell is he doing?
Lucifer's eyes glowed. I set my jaw, trying not to feel as if I was burrowing into Jaframel's side.
Anubis Ether Ka, Lord of Death, watch over me.
You dare.
If I could have made any sound at all, I might have whimpered. The entire temple vibrated with Lucifer's anger, air swirling, freighted with a soundless, fiery static. One of the pews cracked down the middle. I didn't jump, but it was close. Damn close.
I never want to see him really angry.
Abomination.
Jaframel shrugged.
I learned too well from you. You should not have offered me freedom, Prince, even if you never intended to fulfill that offer.
Oh, Anubis, don't piss him off. I don't want to see the devil in a really bad mood.
Jaframel's arm was tight and reassuring over my shoulder.
Sure, he's been the devil's assassin, but if Lucifer loses his temper, will Jaff be able to get me out of here alive?
I certainly hoped so.
I would not have, if your service had not been exceptional.
Lucifer darted a look at me, and I would have sworn his green eyes lit up with glee. The power cloaking him swirled once, spread out to haze through the cathedral.
Well, Dante, what do you think of your fallen now?
I waited for Jaframel to warn me not to reply, but he did nothing, standing curiously still.
I trust him a hell of a lot more than I trust you. Well, that's unequivocally true at the least.
That made the devil's eyes light up.
Is he actually looking mischievous? Well, wonders never cease. Then again, the devil in a mood to play with his prey is not something I ever wanted to see.
I was suddenly fiercely glad I wasn't completely physically human anymore, for the very first time. A human would never have been able to stand the welter of razor-toothed power in the air, or the way Lucifer's eyes suddenly drifted down to touch my throat. My heart gave an unsteady leap.
Well matched, the pair of you. Very well, Tyrus Jaframel. 7 years, full control and my protection, sworn on my own ineffable name for the miserable necromance for eternity. I accept your other terms as well. Is there aught else?
Leave it there, Danny. Leave it there.
Jaframel's arm tightened around me. Eve, I couldn't help myself.
Be very careful.
If the devil truly needs me, this is a way to erase at least one name from my long list of failures.
Freedom for Doreen's daughter, Lucifer. That's my condition, on top of Jaframel's. There comes a point past which terror gives you a crazy type of courage. I'd reached it. His eyes blazed. He took a single step forward, the shadows in the cathedral suddenly pulling close, red eyes glowing in the dimness. I didn't see Jaframel move, but he was suddenly a little in front of me, his shoulder pushing me aside and back. That put him mostly between me and the devil, and my heart thumped sickly against my ribs at the thought of him facing down Lucifer.
Enough, Prince. Have we reached agreement?
7 years, full control, protection for her and you, Jaframel. Restored to your place of pride in the greater flight. I agree.
My heart slammed into my throat. I couldn't help myself. I looked up at Jaframel, who was utterly still, pale under his golden skin.
What the fuck?
The full meaning of the word slammed home.
Oh, gods. Gods. No, he's going back to hell. What did he just do? But Eve...
Done.
Jaframel's jaw tightened after the word. His eyes flared, angular green runic shapes sliding through the darkness.
Done!
Lucifer's eyes turned to me.
I am waiting for your agreement, necromance. I counsel you to take this bargain. It is the best you will receive from me.
Done.
I had no choice. Jaframel had already agreed, and if I pushed it, he might not be able to keep Lucifer from ripping me a new spleen or two.
Trust me, Dante. Do not doubt me.
The first rule of dealing with non-humans. Their idea of truth isn't the same as ours. Maybe Jaff had grown tired of hanging out with a damaged human. Maybe I'd pushed him too hard. He'd maneuvered me into agreeing, played me neatly as a synthesizer. Eve's freedom wasn't a part of the bargain. It hit me again, like a thunder roll after lightning.
Jaframel's going home to hell for a while, and I've just been sold to the devil for 7 years. Great!
Send her away, Tyrus Jaframel. I will wait.
I didn't struggle, but Jaframel had to drag me away, my boots scraping the floor. The last I saw of Lucifer, he had turned back to the altar, his golden hand resting on the rail again. His black-clad back rippled as if some force streamed away from him.
fools.
I wonder if he means humans in general, or demons, or just me.
Japhomel hauled me into the smoky dark of a Venetia night as if I weighed nothing. A sleek black hover limo was waiting, a plasteel stepladder flowing down from the side entrance to touch the cathedral steps.
Oh, look! The boys send Dante home in style! Pack the human off until we need to use her again.
Go home. Wait for me.
Wait for what? You're coming back?
Did I just ask that out loud?
It was hard to tell. A roaring filled my head. My bag bumped my hip, and I was glad I'd suited up. If I'd had to deal with this without my weapons, I would have started to scream.
Wait a second. Japhomel.
My fingers tightened around the sword.
If I draw it now, what will he do? What can I do?
There is no time for explanations, Dante. Do as I say.
You asked to go back to hell? Is that what happened? Are you coming back?
This time I was sure I'd spoken, but I didn't recognize the small, wounded voice as mine. He dragged me down the steps. Something hard and clawed rose in my throat. I closed my teeth against it. Denied it.
I'm not going to cry. It doesn't hurt. I am not going to cry. It doesn't hurt.
Number one rule for anyone who practices magic. Don't ever lie to yourself. I knew, with miserable clarity, that I was breaking that rule.
You bastard. Are you going back to hell? For how long? What's going on? At least say it out loud if you're not coming back. At least tell me. The least you could do is tell me.
Curious numbness spread through my chest. Numbness like metal must feel when a blowtorch kisses it. Japhomel stopped. He caught my shoulders, and before I could back up, he pressed a hard, closed kiss on my mouth. I would have struggled, would have tried to break free, but his hands were like steel claws.
Listen to me.
His eyes were full of green sparks, dancing in their depths like fireflies.
I will come for you. I will always come for you. I will be with you soon. Now go.
Okay. What do I say to that?
I simply stared at him, my fingers nerveless tight around my sword. He moved me back up the steps and into the hover.
Go. And wait for me.
He leapt back down the steps. I collapsed on the pleather seat, all strength running out of my legs.
What just happened in there? If he goes back to hell and leaves me alone, how long will I last against four greater flight demons? What did he really ask Lucifer for? I thought he couldn't go back.
The thought rose like bad gas in a reactive painted shaft. The driver didn't speak. I wondered for a lunatic moment if it was one of Hell's human agents or just autopilot.
He's going back to Hell. For how long? When will he come back? Soon, he says. What's a demon's idea of soon? Abandoned. Again. All my life I've been left behind. By parents, lovers, friends. I thought this time was different. Will I ever learn?
I scooted over as the hover rose, pressed my forehead to the window. I had one glimpse of Japhomel, his face upturned like a golden dish, standing on the cathedral steps and watching as the hover rose into the night sky. His black coat fell down, melded with the shadow lying over the steps. Then he was gone. Vanished. Back into the cathedral.
Back to Lucifer. Back to hell.
I collapsed back against the seat. The trembling got worse, running through my bones like hover wine.
Gods.
I closed my eyes. It wasn't numbness burning cold inside my chest. It was a pain so immense I immediately drove my fingernails of my left hand into my palm, squeezing my hand with every erg of demon-given strength. My rings popped and snapped, a shower of golden sparks filling the air. Panic.
You're panicking. Stop it. Ride the pain, Dante. Come back, get a grip on yourself, get a goddamn grip. You're alive. Still alive.
But for how long?
The smell of my own black blood rose to assault my nose. I opened my eyes, lifted my blood-slick hand, dragged it back over my hair to wipe it clean. The nasty, ragged half-moon marks from my claws sealed themselves away, closed seamlessly. The hover banked, turning to go over land.
I'm not gonna be dumped in the sea. Good to know.
The hole in my chest got bigger. The mark on my shoulder flared with heat. One last caress burning all the way down my body. I'd lived with Jaff for a little under a year last time, when he was ash in a black lacquer urn, waiting for me to figure out how to resurrect him.
I never wanted to do that again. It hurt too goddamn much.
I moved again on the seat.
What the hell was that noise?
I looked down. There was a brown paper package on the seat I was sure hadn't been there before. Well, that's interesting.
I will always come for you.
God.
7 years, was that what I just agreed to? 7 years of working for the devil. Not just a hunt like last time. Lucifer's probably sitting in hell right now laughing his immortal ass off. 7 years of working for the devil, and if Jaff Rommel goes back to being in hell, where does that leave me? Am I gonna turn back into a human without him around? Would I like that?
I hope the process isn't too painful.
God damn it, Dante, wake up! You saw the devil again and lived through it. You should throw a party. A big one with lots of booze, fireworks, and a goddamn military marching band.
Yeah? Who would show up? Who would even care? I reached down with shaking fingers and touched the package. It was tied with twine, wrapped in brown paper, bigger than my clenched fist. I picked it up, as if dreaming. The twine and paper fell away. It was a wrist cuff, made out of oddly heavy silver metal. Etched into its surface was a complicated pattern that reminded me of a shaman's accreditation tattoo. Thorns and flowing lines twisting through each other. The inside was smooth and blank, except for two daggered marks that looked like fangs. It had the slightly alien geometry of something demon-made.
Great. A pity party favor. An afterthought? What is this?
I touched the cuff with one finger, feeling smooth silver. I traced one etched line.
Oh, what the hell? Nothing can get any worse.
I winced at the thought. Thinking that was the surest way for some new and interesting twist of awfulness to show up. Any magi-trained scion knows better than to tempt fate, even if only inside one's head. I picked it up, slid it around my left wrist, twisting so that the open part of the cuff lay upward, the flat demon-carved surface along the underside of the arm. It settled against my skin as if it belonged there, a little higher than my dat band. It looked barbaric. I've never been one for jewelry, despite my rings. I like all my accessories to have lethal capacity.
He knew I wanted Eve free. He knew it. Why did he back away from pressing for Eve? What did he really say to Lucifer? Why did he ask to go back to hell? Does that mean he's tired of me? He said he would come back. He even told me to lock the doors at home. Home. Like it's home without him. Had he wanted to be free of me? Had all the presents just been a way to tell me so?
Sekhmet Zayas. I was even disgusting myself.
If he wanted to break up with me, there are better ways of doing it. He gave me presents because he wanted to. I know him. He'll come back.
But what then?
I haven't the faintest.
Gods. Anubis. Anubis Eter Ka. Setauk Fet Satevapu Kuraf. Anubis, Lord of the Dead, faithful companion, protect me, for I am your child. Protect me, Anubis. Weigh my heart upon the scale. Watch over me, Lord, for I am your child. Do not let evil distress me, but turn your fierceness upon my enemies. Cover me with your gaze, let your hand be upon me, now and all the days of my life, until you take me into your embrace. I crumpled the paper in my fist and tossed it across the hover. A passionlessly accurate throw. It can't get any worse. I curled up, bracing my heels against the edge of the soft, cushioned seat. I wrapped my arms around my legs and buried my face in my knees. The house was still, dark, and silent when the hover limo let me off on the landing pad. Clearly it was on autopilot. I stood and shut my eyes. A Toscano summer night folded around me, warm and soft. The kind of night I could spend in the library, my eyes glued to the page. Or a night I could spend curled against Jaframel's side in the comfort of our bed, listening to his quiet voice as he told me stories of demons and history, sometimes true, sometimes only rumors. No more. Lucifer had stopped all that. I set my shoulders, walked down the steps between the masses of fragrant rosemary growing on either side. I was grateful none of the servants were there, especially Emilio. Jaframel must have quietly and efficiently taken care of sending them away, maybe guessing he wouldn't be back tonight. The security net recognized my datband and gene scan. I pushed open the front door. The mark on my shoulder was quiescent, not throbbing in time to Jaff's heartbeat or burning with his attention to me. I did not reach up to touch it.
If he's in hell, I don't want to see through his eyes. I just hope this awful empty feeling in my chest will go away sometime soon.
I made my way through silent halls and death-quiet rooms. I tried not to look at any room Jaframel might have walked through.
God, Danny, can't you just calm down? Just wait for him. He'll be back. You know he will.
Most of me knows he will. A small, critical, half-buried part of me still wasn't so sure. The part of me that trusted no one, believed no one. The hard, cold streak of stubborn doubt I hated myself for. I was always waiting for someone to hurt me. Maybe because most of the people I'd loved or trusted, or who had power over me, especially when I was a child, had either died or misused my trust, betrayed me, hurt me.
Abandoned me.
I finally reached the double doors, pushed them open gently. The long room, dappled with low light, looked just the same. I paced down the middle of the floor, put my palms together, and bowed slightly to Jace's sword.
Why the hell am I in here? What am I doing?
The sword rang softly. A slow, low song of distress from the death of its owner still reverberating in the steel. I wondered sometimes if the shards of my old katana, rusting in frigid ocean depths with rotting bits of Santino, sang with the same aching agony.
Only I hadn't died, just been crippled. And lost Jaframel as well as my own humanity.
I reached up with my free hand, touching the slim, hard shapes of silver-dipped raccoon baculum. The protections wedded to the necklace shifted, a gentle touch closing around me. Between the necklace, the cuff, and my rings, I was beginning to feel quite the fashion holoplate.
I've been here, asking the ghost of a human man for forgiveness, and wondering why he has more of your heart than I do.
Did he really think that? Did he really think I was that petty or disloyal?
I had loved Jace, loved him, and been unable to touch him, unable to return his own affection for me. He had been one of the last links to the person I was before Rio, before I'd ended up half-demon and tied to Lucifer's assassin. I'd loved him, but I needed Jaframel, the way I'd never needed Jace.
Jaframel. Jaff. Where are you now? What are you doing? How long am I going to wait here?
As long as it takes. I turned on my heel and stopped dead. A shadow melded with the gloom at the other end of the room. My heart hammered, leaping wildly. I tasted copper. Blue eyes glittered, a shock of golden hair. Gone. The dust in the air swirled, coalesced into a thorn-twisted shaman tattoo before a stray breath of air smashed through the delicate pattern. I knew that tat as well as I knew my own, as well as I knew Gabe's. Gods.
Stop it. You're imagining things. You're in shock. You've just had a nasty experience and you're wishing someone, anyone, was here. Quit imagining. That's deadly for a necromancer to start hallucinating.
But the air was full of the scent of tamales and blood and the smell of midnight ice and wet rat fur. Chills rilled up my spine. My right hand blurred to my sword hilt, and I drew the blade free in one fluid motion.
Blue fire began to flow along the metal's edge, dappling the floor with reflections as the sword slanted slightly up in first guard, the position so habitual and natural I barely realized I'd drawn steel. The smell of tamales and blood and power was Nuevo Rio, Jace's hometown. But the other smell made my hackles rise and a thin gleam of light jet from the emerald set in my cheek. The tattoo shifted under my skin, my cheek burning. My rings boiled with sparks for a moment. Ice and wet rat fur was the scent of a demon I'd indisputably killed. With a huge helping of luck and a lot of berserker rage, I'd torn through his throat, plunged the shards of my blade through his heart, and shredded what muck remained of him into the ocean, that great cleanser. Jaframel had assured me Vardamol was completely dead.
Of all the times to be haunted by a dead demon, it just has to happen when Jaff's not here to help.
Rage rose up inside me. I lifted the scabbard in my left hand, held along my forearm with about 3 inches protruding from my fist for striking at an enemy's vulnerable point. I lowered myself slightly, almost crouching, my back to the wall behind the ebony table. I slid along the wall, backed into the corner, and waited. The most nerve-wracking part of any attack is the waiting, for both attacker and defender.
Avercell's outside. Is someone coming to visit me? Yeah, well, take a number. I'm busy with another enemy. Jaff told me to stay inside. Am I gonna have to fight a guerrilla action inside my own house?
Cold fury dilated inside me. Blue light sliding over the walls, lighting the long room clearly. I inhaled again, filled my lungs. The smell had disappeared, both the smell of Nuevo Rio and the smell of Santino Vardamol.
It isn't Santino. I killed Santino. It's something like Santino, maybe, or something playing a trick on me.
The outer edges of my shielding thinned.
Nothing can get in here, can it? Not through Jaframel's shields. Not through yours, Danny. Jaff told you to come here. He insisted on it. He wouldn't have done that unless it was safe, right?
Of all the times to have a thought like that, now was the worst.
Settle down, Danny. Don't second-guess yourself. You smelled it and your body knows what's up. Just stay put a minute. Just wait.
It was good advice, even if it came from a dead man.
Fine time to be thinking of Jace Monroe.
I waited, my heartbeats thudding off time. Premonition itched under my skin. I wasn't at all sure the house was a safe place to be right now. After all, someone had to know we were living here. Being where your enemy expects you is not good tactics.
Why would he tell you to wait here then? He was very clear about it.
I saw it, as the whine of hover cells returned more loudly. A shadow flitting along the window, outside. Too quick to track even for my demon acute eyes, but I was already moving, even as the shields shivered under an assault that threatened to throw me to my knees with the backlash. I pumped available power from the reserves below the house and a generous portion of demon power into a flare that knocked whatever it was off.
Has to be physical. No magical assault would feel quite so real. Jaframel told me to stay inside, but if someone crashes a hover into the house, I don't want to stick around to see it.
No route like the short route. I gathered myself and leapt. Breaking plasglass filled the air. I landed, cat silent, cat quick, and streaked along the wall of the house, making for the corner.
It's a relief to have something to fight.
I rounded the corner and saw it. A low, black, vaguely humanoid shape moving with blurring speed. Shit. It twisted away from the wall of the house, which was resonating like a struck bell. Stone singing with the stress of the power wedded to it, stretching. Another magical attack, and I'd gotten out of the house just in time. The shields shuddered from the direction of the front of the house, taking another massive impact and going hard and crystalline, locking down. The thing bolted across the field on the west side of the house. I jabbed my left hand forward as I ran, making a complicated non-physical gesture. The bloodstone ring on my left third finger shot a single bolt of thin red light. I'd sunk 4 or 5 trackers into this ring, little rune spells meant to latch onto a bounty. An unshakable magical bloodhound, I was secondarily talented as a rune witch, able to use the runes of the 9 cannons with more accuracy and ease than most. I could make my own trackers rather than buying them from a shaman or a skinling dirt witch. I hurtled forward, following the thin smear of red light, using every iota of demon speed.
That's it! The tracker slammed home!
I dropped to my knees, all speed gone. I blinked, my sword gone dark since I no longer needed it.
That thing, whatever it was, just popped out of existence and threw the damned tracker back at me. Nothing human can do that.
The trackers were meant to hang on to even a combat-trained human scion. I should have been able to follow that thing to the ends of the Earth.
We're not dealing with earthly things here, Danny. Get with the program, will you?
I levered myself to my feet, reflexively. If I'd still been human, the backlash would have knocked me out, possibly even burned me physically along my power meridians. As it was, I shook the stunning sound out of my head, my almost demon body taking a split second to deal with the burning from the snapped tracker.
What the bloody blue fuck?
The whine of hover cells crested with an abused squeal of anti-grav. A massive force slammed into me. I was tied to the shields on the house, so I felt a sharp pain, like a tooth yanked from its socket, as the layers of energy, both mine and Jaffermel's, imploded. It would take unimaginable force to break those shields, even with both Jaffermel and me away.
Only one thing could supply that kind of force.
Two, actually. A god, which was unlikely. Gods just don't attack people like that. They have other ways to make their displeasure known.
Or a demon.
Presented with a choice like that, I didn't even lay odds on it. There wasn't any point.
This just keeps getting better.
I sheathed my sword again and turned to look back at the house. Suddenly, fire lanced the sky. For a second time in as many minutes, my legs spilled out from under me. A white-hot column of flame boiled up from the house.
Holy shit.
Ugh. That's reactive in plas.
I laid on my side. Blood slid from my nose in a painless gush. My body was trying to cope with this new demand. Half my face tingled where it was exposed to the scorching air. The smell of cooking grass simmered in my nose.
Jace's sword. My altar. My books! God damn it!
I could hear aid hovers in the distance. My brain started to work again.
Someone just seriously tried to kill me.
Lucifer? Or one of the demons he said he wanted me to hunt? Which would mean they already know the devil's hired me. Which means I'm not gonna survive for long without Jaffermel around. Shit. Four of the Greater Flight of Hell and I'm Lucifer's new little errand girl. All on my own, without Jaffermel, who told me to stay in the fucking house and get killed. God damn it!
I spared myself one grim smile and shook my head. Rolling onto my stomach and bringing myself up to hands and knees, my sheathed sword braced against the earth in my left hand.
Damn.
I made it to my feet in two tries. There's a limit to what even my body can handle.
If Jaffermel's return to hell and reclaiming his place as a demon undoes my change and makes me human again, I am looking at a very short, exceedingly uncomfortable lifespan.
The mark on my left shoulder tingled faintly. I closed my eyes against a wave of dizziness. Then I patted myself down.
Bag, knives, gun, plasgun, sword. Everything here, including all my fingers.
Hallelujah.
I looked at the inferno my home had become, suddenly glad none of the servants had been there. The stone itself was warping and twisting. The structure of the marble weakened by the interaction of reactive and plas fields. The very molecular bonds broken down. This was why you never discharge a plas gun near reactive. Why shooting a plas gun at a hover isn't used even as an assassination technique. The interaction of reactive paint in a plas field creates a chain reaction that propagates at roughly half the speed of light, burning and warping molecular bonds, leaving giant scars on the Earth unless contained and decontaminated. Even after that, the effects linger in living things. Trees grow brittle and other plants wither and die. It's a hugely messy way to kill someone. But pretty effective if you don't care about being fined for contamination and ecological irresponsibility. And if you were pretty sure you could outrun the shockwave.
Anubis.
My statue of the god. The obsidian statue of Sekhmet Jaffermel had given me. Jace's sword? All probably gone.
Was the vision of Jace a warning? One my god knew I would heed?
Thank you, Lord Death, for saving my life.
The aid hovers from Arieto crested the rise, lights flashing. I looked around for cover,
They would dump plurifreeze on the flames to keep them from spreading and damp the reaction field, then stamp out any grass fires.
I don't think any of the attackers stuck around after this. They'd think they'd trapped me when the house shields went into lockdown. Gods alone knew what had been loosed inside the house when the shields broke, the reaction fire consuming all evidence and mopping me up if I'd survived.
I faded into a small stand of olive trees, leaning against one, my hand resting on warm bark. There would be a scar on this hillside until the plant life recovered from stresses in cellular structure caused by the reaction and the heat. More glowing aid hovers crested the hill, some of them already beginning to release a fine, silvery mist of plurifreeze. Decontamination from a reaction fire this big would take a while. 2 days, at least. The books Jaff had bought me were gone, and gods alone knew if anything else might survive. It wasn't likely. My free hand came up to touch the necklace.
If his sword was destroyed, this is all that's left of Jace except his ashes.
They were kept safely in Gabe Spokarelli's family mausoleum, as a favor to me.
I don't even know who's trying to kill me yet. Stay in the house, lock the doors. Yeah, right, Jaff. Thanks a heap.
I gauged the distance between me and the aid hovers, and disappeared into the night.